We're talking right now with Jeff Rowland here on the Marion County PM Sports page on KNIA KRLS. Jeff is a retired fishing guide and author of The Real Adventures of a Marion County Angler. And first of all, Jeff, thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
How you doing?
Doing well, and it's been a really nice, mild spring, really a mild winter for that fact. And so we were going to talk a little fishing with you right now, an area that I know you've got a lot of passion about and certainly a lot of interest. Let's start there real briefly. What is some of your background as far as fishing is concerned in Marion County?
Oh, it's just been a passion of mine that I kind of pursued from my childhood. Didn't really grow up in a house that had a lot of that going on. We were a very busy sports family, so I kind of had to do it on my own and get after things and learn on my own, and didn't really have a childhood that was full of it, but got kind of passionate about something else as life went along, and that one came to an end. And I just totally started focusing on that, on fishing, and I was about the age of 20. And it just continued to grow, started getting information, reading as much as I could, trying to learn as much as I could, and just spending time doing it, just getting out and doing by learning, you know, kind of blue collar on the whole thing. And no better place than your own backyard. You know, when I first got started, I started having real strong aspirations of traveling and going to Canada and the Clear Waters, and I did some of that and loved to go to southern Missouri, but as my kids got older, I really had to take a strong look at my own backyard. You know, tuition's coming up, all that stuff, raising three kids, and just the financial responsibilities of doing that made me really pour into Marion County. You know, look at my own backyard and, oh my goodness, we're so blessed. There's so many different species an angler can catch. There's rivers, there's lakes, there's ponds. It's just a wonderful place.
Well, Jeff, as I'd mentioned, we've had a very nice, mild spring. People have been, I think, getting the itch to kind of get out and start doing some spring fishing. A lot of people doing that already. Your job right now, you're the receiving manager, that is, at Bass Pro Shops. And you'd been telling me yesterday as we talked on the phone that people are already ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And the store shows that. Just, you know, people are getting very excited with the nice weather. Things are, people even talking about mushroom hunting the first week of April. You know, everybody's kind of wondering what's going on, and the same things with the fishing. Here at the store, we're seeing large purchases of kayaks, stuff that you typically see in April and May. So, yeah, everybody's all fired up about that. I previous experience can tell me that April can be kind of crappy too. So I think the fish are kind of confused more than anything. The people are ready. There's no doubt about that. But I think the fish are kind of confused on what to do. You know, they just react to water temperatures. They don't have things that they do by date or anything. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how the weather plays out the next 4 weeks.
Well, speaking of the kinds of fish, Jeff, are there certain species that are better to fish for earlier in the season as opposed to later in the summer when things warm up even further?
I don't think it's really a species thing. There are some that will turn on and be more cooperative, but I think I would, right now, personally, I would hit the smaller water. The smaller water is going to warm up quicker. Those fish are going to be more active regardless of the species. You know, whatever you like to catch, you're going to have a better chance catching that fish in a pond this time of year. So that would be my suggestion on that. You know, instead of focusing on the species, I would hit the smaller water, no doubt about it, right now. And that's typical of any spring, regardless of what time the temperatures are warming up.
Again, if you're just tuning into the Marion County PM Sports page, we're talking with retired fishing guide Jeff Rowland, who's also the author of The Real Adventures of a Marion County Angler. And Jeff, as we continue to just kind of look at the spring fishing season, I suppose one of the other things, too, would just be to make sure that you've got everything ready to go, and that would include all your equipment as well as making sure you're up to date on licenses and all of that.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. And, you know, a lot of anglers that are serious about it will spend that time during the wintertime, at least I do. I like empty everything out, you know. Those who use monofilament line want to make sure they change that. Good idea to give that a stretch before you take it out. A lot of people learn the hard, you know, those twists that get in them. You can eliminate those by stretching your line out. Just go out and hook up to something and back up a couple hundred feet and just give her a good hard pull, and that'll help the twist there. But you want to start out new there. Not so much with the braided line, that type of thing, but absolutely. It's beneficial to any angler to get as organized as you can before you hit it this spring.
Now, I suppose it would probably be the $64,000 question would be lures. Is there really any sort of lure or bait that's better to use early on, or do you just kind of got to play it by ear?
Well, once again, it pertains to the species that you're pursuing. You know, a largemouth bass, there's certain lures that you would want to throw this time of year. And like right now, if I'm going largemouth bass fishing, I'm going to go for the big female. So I'm going to be throwing some larger lures. Yeah, you can probably go throw a smaller bait and catch multiple bass. But right now, those big females, kind of, I call it coming out of hibernation. They don't truly hibernate. Their metabolism gets real low. They're on the feed now. They're kind of coming out of that winter slump, and it's a real good opportunity. So, you know, if you're targeting that species, you're going to want to throw something different than if you were targeting crappies. You know, there's so many different, and if you come into our store, you see, you just walk aisles and aisles and aisles of lures. That question really can't be answered. It just depends on what species you're targeting. It depends on the forage that's in the water where you're at, and that kind of changes wherever you go. You know, like right now at Red Rock, the shad are hatching out, the first hatch, there's some small minnows going around. If I was going after crappies there, I'd probably be presenting a minnow-type imitator, that type of thing. Whereas if I went into a pond that was full of crawdads, I'd probably be throwing a crawdad imitator after largemouth. So there's not really one answer for your question.
Well, if you're just tuning into the Marion County PM Sports page, we are talking with retired fishing guide Jeff Rowland. And Jeff, one of the other things I wanted to talk about, you mentioned your background in fishing in Marion County. You've written a book on the very topic. Talk a little bit about that.
It was something that just kind of spawned out of writing for the Knoxville Journal and Red Rock Lake News. And, you know, I just kind of hit a point in my life where I knew that I'd experienced a lot to share. Not that I was, you know, all knowledgeable or had a lot of information, but I knew I could share experiences that I had that was probably similar to what people had done themselves. And it kind of brought you up through what it was like growing up in Marion County in the 70s, that type of thing, a little more sweeter time or more innocent time, if I can use that for an example. And then just how a person, it's not only about fishing, but it's how a person matures as they go on in life. You know, the lessons you learn and what it did for you. And I really enjoyed the response that I got from the book. I didn't know for sure what was going to happen when I was done, what kind of response I was going to get. But the majority of people that read it that are anglers, right away they're going, it just brings you back to the things that you've done. It brings you back to things that you enjoyed in your youth. It brings you back to experiences that you've had. And then for the non-anglers, there's a lot of entertainment. There's a lot of humor in it. And It was a fun little project. It was kind of, you know, the best example I can give you. It's kind of like chilling the garden. You know, once I wrote that outline, that was my garden. That was my busted sod, you know. I'd started that, and I had to finish it. And I actually even got to a point one time where I was just ready to get rid of it. I didn't know where I was going with it and just held on to it and ended up finishing it. So it was fun and a lot of enjoyment.
Well, you talked about some of the stories that you were able to tell in that. Give us a good story that you like to tell. Every fisherman's got a fishing story, whether it's the one that got away or just an exciting day. What is one of your favorite stories?
Oh, my. Oh, I would have to say probably the first chapter, and this is going to be hard to compress into an interview here, but the first chapter, I had an uncle that was really the only knowledgeable angler in our family that I interacted with. He was a great uncle. And he was just starting to introduce me to stuff when I was about 11. And, you know, sadly, he passed away. And my dad went to take care of some stuff at the house and help his widow out. When he got done, she gave him Uncle Tom's rod and reel and a tackle box. And we didn't have any at our home, so I was real excited. Dad brought it home. He hung it up on the garage, and he hung the tackle box up on the garage, and I thought we were going to be fishing, and basically he had just built a shrine to Uncle Tom, and I was instructed to never touch. Long story short, one of the finishing paragraphs in was I grabbed the rod and reel I was never supposed to touch and headed straight for a place I wasn't supposed to go. You know, as a child, I took that rod and reel, grabbed the tackle box, hiked about 2 miles over the VA pond, and got caught by the security guard, which I outran, but didn't. Pulled the whole thing off because I got busted by my dad when I pulled in. And, you know, back in 1972, the words time out were only applicable to sporting events. There was a board that hung up in our kitchen, and it said Board of Education, and I got introduced to that after that trip. So that one was pretty memorable.
And then after that, never turned back. Fishing always just a big part of you from there.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. It was always a passion that was inside of me, but, you know, life takes you different directions, and I got excited about some other things, but it seemed to always come back to fishing. So.
You opened up the interview talking about the fact that we've got so many great fishing spots right in our own backyard here in Marion County, and mentioning the variety of, you know, lakes and streams, rivers and ponds. Last question I'll ask for you then, even though you've got a wealth of knowledge and we could certainly go for a long time, would be, what is a good piece of advice for our local anglers here at this time of the season?
Talk to the old boys. I never learn more, you know, and if I can drop some names, the Rich Baileys, the Jim Coes, the guys that have been out and doing Chuck Galeazzi, you know, I picked their brains. And they already recognized what I had to learn later in life. You know, they knew that right here was a gem. And they would mention it from time to time. You know, I know a lot of guys that travel so many miles to catch this species, and they're right down here. And pay attention to the guys that have been out doing it. Take their advice, get out and learn it yourself. Whatever you want to pursue in the fresh water, almost every species is right here. You know, it's just amazing. You know, we don't have the northern population that we used to, but good walleyes in the river, smallmouth in the river, largemouth, take your pick. You know, they're at the county park, they're at private ponds, they're in the lake, they're in the city reservoir somewhere. You know, it's just amazing. But, you know, that species, and crappies are all over the place, and catfish, and it's just endless. So whatever you're going to go after, if you know anybody that's been doing it for a while, my best advice would be talk to them, because if you can pick their brain and they share information, there's no better place to get it from than experience.
All right. Well, Jeff, again, thanks a lot for your time and your experience. Really appreciate it. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and we hope to catch up with you sometime in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Once again, Jeff Rowland, retired fishing guide and author of The Real Adventures of a Marion County Angler. Stay tuned. We've got more of the Marion County PM Sports page next on KNIA KRLS.